The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Are we on? That's good. I like being on. This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. A Tuesday edition, a rare Tuesday edition. A recording of the This is Season 13, Episode 8. As good as the Pine Barrens episode.
The what?
The Pine Barrens episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, I actually haven't seen an episode of The Sopranos.
Just watch that one episode.
Okay.
It's got everything. Right. It's got everything. Anyway, Cats had a bit of everything on Friday Night Kingy. They were at times playing down to the level of Melbourne. But in the end, they found a way, lost Jack Henry along the way. And there's a few nervous moments in that game where you're thinking, God, Melbourne are actually giving this their best push. And the Cats were struggling to keep them at bay. But in the end, found a way to win by 7 goals, keep Melbourne to 6. You win an AFL game by 7 goals, yep. You've done something right. Clearly the highlight of the night was the performance of Connor O'Sullivan, who was quite extraordinary, really. I mean, I'll have to change my tune kicking. I thought it was going to be handy if he could play maybe 6 to 8 games.
I said 15.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, that's a high bar for a second-year key position player. But confidence.
Was De Koning drafted in 19? Yes. So he was drafted in 19. Let's wipe out 2020. He was really a second-year key position player in 2022, and he played in the flag.
Well, he's shaping as a sort of a Sam De Koning Mark II, so that means will he end up in the ruck?
No, if anything, he'll end up as a midfielder.
No, I hope not, but anyway, he's...
That'll really give you the egg your Brits, won't it?
They go on with that versatility, and wasn't it great to see Sam De Koning? How good did he look? Where did he look the best, King, on Friday night?
Key defender.
Yeah, how good was that? Yeah, he looked great, didn't back. He? Where did he look crap?
In the ruck.
Yeah. Where's he look crap all year?
In the ruck.
Bar when he played some bloke we've never heard of, who hasn't played for Freo since. That was the only time he did anything in the ruck.
23 disposals for Connor O'Sullivan.
13 marks. 3 contested.
Correct.
10 uncontested. Yep. He just wants the ball. You can see him growing in confidence before your eyes, and you love to see that in a young player. We heard from Zach Tui that he's got a big tank, which is always good, particularly for a key position player. It allows him to get around the ground. And we even saw it on Friday night. There was some passages of play where he sort of bobbed up. You're thinking, how did he end up there, having been in the passage of play previously? So, look, that was a huge highlight for Geelong fans. I thought, a couple of players who'd been maybe just, Ollie Dempsey played quite well, found a bit of the footy. He was good. Tommy Atkins continues to be a tackling machine for the Cats. He'd have to be leading their tackles. He'd have to be 30 in front of the next bloke.
He's leading the competition tackles.
Is he?
Yep.
Yeah, well, he's
48 for the year.
Well, he clearly come with a mindset to do that, King, off a, probably an indifferent year last year, would you say?
The thing is, though, and you get the wags that say, well, if you're tackling so much, are you second to the ball?
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, possibly there's an element to that. But
he's laid 14 more tackles than the next best in the competition.
Yeah, that's a lot in 4 games. Mm. That is a lot. Jeremy Cameron, how many tackles has he laid this year? He wouldn't have laid 4, I reckon.
And Jeremy Cameron has laid for the year.
He would have fallen on 2 blokes and... I claim that was a tackle.
Jeremy Cameron. Let me just find him here. Jeremy Cameron for the year has laid. We're in the year. What year are we, Benny?
225. I reckon he's laid. I reckon he'd have laid 5.
Close.
6.
Correct.
6 tackles for the year. Look, I know it's not his go to tackle, but
he had 22 disposals on.
Yeah, but it's because a lot of them are meaningless. He's getting a lot of meaningless footy. He's coming up the ground to get a kick. I think that's a sign that he's struggling when he's doing that. I think Kingy, as good as he is, and as the star power that he's got, I just love to see him just do the basics pretty well. Mm. Everything he does is seemingly at the moment needs to be a highlight reel. Just do the basics. Don't try that kick, that miraculous kick. Don't try and come up the ground and then swing onto your left in this arc as if you've got all the time in the world and then cock it up and then, his handball, he's just not that player. I think he just play the percentages. Play the percentages, and then when he starts playing well, it'll come to him all that sort of pizzazz, which he's got.
Yep.
But I think it's at the moment, he just needs to refocus a little bit and just do what's required. Don't do anything that's not required. And, I don't know, I'd love to see him do that, because I think if Geelong are going to be any chance to beat Adelaide over there, he's going to have to play well.
Yes.
I would have thought.
Yep. He's got to kick three or four and have a hand in a couple. And
the small forwards are going to need to play well. Stengel, yep. Close. Stengel was only just against Melbourne. I thought Close played better.
Yep.
Particularly in the first half.
I think Close had to. I suspect Ollie Wiltshire.
You love this Ollie Wiltshire. Yep. Yep. And Polkinghorne.
Yeah. Polkinghorne's got a way to go. But Polkinghorne is doing some really good stuff in the VFL at the moment. But Wiltshire was outstanding again in the VFL against a good opposition. Now, nothing against the Northern Bull Ants. They're a standalone who struggle. He's done it against the Casey Demons, who had some AFL talent running around for them, and their non-AFL is the likes of Tom Fullett and the former Brisbane Lion.
Yep.
It's Mitch Hardy, who used to win possessions for fun in the Geelong VFL team. Oh, yeah. He's playing over there.
Yep.
So he's played against a quality VFL team and done it again. So the thing is, though, whose spot would he take? And that's the thing. The Cats are grappling with that. They're going, we want to give this kid a go, but who is coming out of that forward mix?
So nobody in Adelaide.
He probably needs an injury for it to happen.
North Melbourne down. Oh, not even on North Melbourne. West Coast down here.
Mm.
Yep.
I don't think Geelong play West Coast down
here. Well, we've got a bunny coming up.
It's not about a bunny. It's about.
They're not taking you to Adelaide.
No, correct. No. Well, they'll probably take. He'll probably go to the emergency.
Myers had a good four quarter game.
Yep.
Stengel was quiet. You're not going to leave Stengel.
He still kicked two goals.
Who's Stengel? Yeah, that's right.
If Stengel's returning you two goals a game.
And the Cat fans will be saying Ollie Henry should go out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Although there's some people who have raised Ollie Henry's name and your love of Ollie Henry in later questioning.
Love
of footy.
It's love.
You are a fan.
Says love.
But you're a fan.
I am a fan, yeah.
You're a fan.
I'm a fan.
Big fan?
Big fan. Yeah, big fan of him. Big fan of Jay Collard-Jasny. Big fan of. A lot of people.
What did you make from Andrew Mackey's answer when I asked him about Jake Collard-Jasny?
Well, I didn't hear it.
Oh, no, you weren't there.
Because I wasn't there. No. But he said a 2-week Laurie Keane injury has ended up being, he's out for how long?
Well, he's now missed five.
Yeah.
He's not playing this week. While we're recording this, the Cats health update should come through. We do know Jack Henry's going to miss 3 to 4.
Yep.
So do you suspect.
Look bad.
Blitzarv's back.
Yep.
Blitzarv's deconing and O'Sullivan take on Thilthorpe, Walker, Fogarty, which allows Stewart and Guthrie to do their best work.
Yeah.
And Stanley stays in direct.
Who's going to Fogarty? That's where you miss Jake Collard-Jasny and Jack Henry. That hurts.
Well, you'd send deconing to who? Thilthorpe?
Yeah, have you seen the size of that Thilthorpe?
Mm.
He's like a yeti.
But that is deconing. It's a matchup. Blitzarves
would. Well, deconing's playing in the ruck.
No, Stanley was playing the ruck this week.
Do you reckon he'll play in the ruck again?
Yeah.
Hope so.
They've got to send...
God, I can't believe I just said that. That's how desperate we are on the ruck. That Reece Stanley is the saviour, Kiki. He is the saviour.
The saviour.
Yeah.
Our Lord and saviour.
I don't know, the Lord and saviour is just the saviour.
But
deconing to Thilthorpe, yes. Who does Blitzarves play on? Does he go to Fogarty? I'd play Blitzarves on Fogarty.
Yep.
Good reach.
Who goes to Walker?
Yeah, well, that's where I'd go, Connor O'Sullivan. But you'd have your heart in your mouth.
Mm.
But I think you've got to give the kid a crack.
Correct.
Well,
you've got no other options,
unless they go the other way around. I think. I don't know. I'm not sure.
So they've kicked Thilthorpe.
Could you play Zach Guthrie on Fogarty?
You could.
Could you play Tom Stewart on Fogarty and try and run off?
But you can. My only worry is Zach Guthrie. Like, some media had him as Geelong's best last week. I know he had 30 disposals, but Zach Guthrie got owned in a couple of months.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was one of the few times he did look. Yeah,
don't think Zach Guthrie was Geelong's best player last week. Far from it, to be honest.
No, they were Connor O'Sullivan or Dangerfield.
I think
Connor
you'd find either the skipper or the 14 were the two best.
Yeah, I thought Myers was pretty good.
Yeah, Bailey Smith's game was pretty good too.
Yeah, he was solid. Yeah, he was very solid. He's going to need to be solid again. He, Holmes, and Dangerfield need to play well in the midfield. Have they got any injuries?
Matt Crouch didn't play last week.
He's not great. Loss. He's slow.
But he finds the footy.
Yeah, but he's slower than me.
Yeah, but he finds the... Jack McRae's slower than you.
No, he's not. I raced him last week. And it was a developed print, but he got me.
Just.
Yeah.
But, like, what did Jack McRae absolutely pulverise Geelong a fortnight
ago? Yeah, that's true. So Crouch is out. They've still got Soligo, who's people probably haven't heard of. He's a
great, great player.
Very good player.
Yep.
Laird. Dawson's a machine in the middle.
Dawson's a gun.
They probably drop away a bit, though.
They do.
Do they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. They probably like the Cats.
But, like, they're stiff not to be 4-0.
Oh, they're stiff, they're, as the proverbial honeymooners, Kingy.
Yep.
What?
So their only injury updates, the injury issues, really, is Josh Rochelle with ribs. Nick Murray's probably a depth player, but outside of that.
So Rochelle's out and Crouch is out.
Well, Crouch didn't play last week. I haven't seen the update yet for this week. It shouldn't be too far away. We should get the Geelong injury update while we're actually recording this.
So are you thinking this week for the Cats, it's just Blitzarv's in and Jack Henry out?
Nevitt, I reckon Nevitt might be a chance to
come in
back.
Four.
You'd think O'Connor's the one.
If he was out last week?
Yeah.
Late, he got the reprieve?
Well, he didn't get the reprieve. He wasn't the late in, was he? Was he out and in?
No, oh, that was the week before, wasn't it?
No, yeah. Blitzarves was out and Stanley was in.
Yep.
But O'Connor was the sub.
I thought O'Connor actually did okay.
Yeah. They're not dropping Mullen. They're going to keep playing.
Oh, no, he wouldn't drop Mullen.
They're going to keep putting games into Mullen.
No, I'm happy with that. It's been, you know, his first two games were shaky. He's been good the last two. I'm not dropping Mullen. You might be right, O'Connor.
Give it for O'Connor.
If they think they need another midfielder?
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
So I think they're all right defensively.
Well, I think they've only given away... I mean, even when they lost to Brisbane, it was wet, but they only conceded 70. They conceded, 69 to the Dockers?
Yep.
And they conceded 46 to Melbourne?
Yep.
The outlier was 91 to the Saints?
Saints, yeah.
13-13. So... their defence has actually been pretty good because, as we've spoken about on the Kurzweil Cat Attack podcast, at times during some of these games, perhaps not against Melbourne, in times in the other three games, there's been periods where the game's been horribly against them and it's been difficult for the defence to stand up. But I think they've actually been pretty good. So, yeah, I don't think their defence is going to be there. I think and as we say each week, the midfield and the forward line for Geelong, I think are the areas that can fluctuate, and if they fluctuate over there, it's going to be difficult to win. Can Cameron find some form? Can Stengel and Myers find the goals? Can Ollie Henry find some form? Can Dangerfield, Smith, and Holmes be effective and playmaking through the middle?
It's a lot of questions.
Can Atkins, you know, retain his defensive efforts? Can if Mitch Nevitt comes in?
Does Atkins need to go, not necessarily lock down on somebody, but does he need to go to a Dawson?
Is he big enough? Mm. Dawson's a big unit. He's a big boy, Dawson. Yeah. I don't know if he's equipped to take on a player like Dawson. He might be better equipped to take on somebody like Laird, who has he... I don't know if Laird's played in the middle a lot this year.
No, it's off halfback.
Yeah, I think they've thought that Laird and Crouch together in the midfield, they're too slow.
Yep.
And so he's gone back to Soligo. I don't think Atkins has the pace to go with Soligo. He's reasonably nippy without being an absolute burner. But he's got some wheels about him.
The bloke that's been solid is Mitch Hinge for Adelaide.
Yeah, he's a good player, left footer. Mm. I wonder whether Atkins could at least play on Dawson around a stoppage. I mean, he's very good in the air, Dawson, which is probably where he had the wood over.
And when he gets on the move too.
Yeah, but at least Atkins has a bigger body around the stoppages. That's where you'd like somebody like a Blitzarf to probably play on a Dawson around the stoppages, but they're not going to be able to do that, I don't think, with the forward line that Adelaide have got.
Can Stewart play on Tex?
Well, he could.
And then you have O'Sullivan.
And run off him.
Yeah, and O'Sullivan goes to Fogarty, DeConing goes to Philthorpe.
I'm a bit concerned about the strength factor with Fogarty on O'Sullivan.
You could easily remove him.
I think so. I mean, he is a kid. Mm-hmm. I know he played well last week, but he is a kid.
Yeah, and we were, as Nieldy and Zach Tui said in the box last week, we've got to temper our expectations, but you can't not like what we're seeing.
I just think Blitzarv's on Fogarty because he's got a good reach.
Yep.
Fogarty, he'd be giving away 6 or 7 centimetres to Blitzarv, Fogarty. Mm. But he's strong. He's very strong, Fogarty. But Blitzarves has that ability to reach, and I think that might be a difficult matchup for Fogarty.
Yeah.
He usually, I think if you just match him size for size, he plays taller.
Yep.
Because he's strong. Really, you know, he's like a, when we say it as a defender, Jack Henry and Jake Colajasny probably play a bit bigger than they are.
Yep.
Because they're well put together, they're strong.
Colajasny would have been the ideal.
Yeah, he would have been perfect.
For Fogarty.
And Jack Henry.
Similar height and...
Similar build.
And straight and strength. Yeah, yep.
Just big through the hips, strong.
Yeah.
So Fogarty's, I reckon sometimes sides err by playing somebody on him who's a similar size. I think if you played somebody who's actually taller than him...
Mm.
And
got the ability to run.
Yeah, he might find it a difficult matchup. So it'd be interesting to see when they head out to their respective spots who is Geelong, because it's one of those games where there's three players there you've got to shut down.
Mm.
Usually we're thinking, I mean, we went into the Dockers game thinking it was Amos and Tracy. I mean, Geelong had their measure. It was at home, though. The game was all played one way. That Amos and Tracy didn't really get a crack. St Kilda, we were thinking, who the hell are they going to need to play on? There's no King. There was no Butler. You know, Membry wasn't there.
Mm.
So there wasn't a matchup. You're thinking, oh, you know, what's going to happen here? Melbourne was a bit the same.
Yep.
I mean, Fritsch and Van Rooyen. Van Rooyen's out of form. Yep. Fritsch is horribly out of form.
Fritsch is every
chance. He's on the Fritsch.
I was going to say, and there's every chance he's out of the side this week.
He's absolutely.
He might be sending, well, actually, he won't be sending the GPS for Casey. There's no VFL for him to go and find form in because it's got the week off.
We'll be able to get that hair, continue to get that hair sculpted, but he's absolutely on the Fritsch. So there was no matchup where you're thinking, you know, what are we going to be stopped? Well, you know, it's desperate that we stop this sort of guy or these players. Whereas Adelaide have, you know, they have Thilthorpe, Walker, and Fogarty. And the other one that we didn't talk about in the midfield is Rankin. Mm-hmm. Rankin's become a midfielder for them. He's crucial. I don't know if we've got a whole lot in that department. He seems to have found his niche a little bit. And he's very crafty, and he's very, very dangerous. So
he'll be very dangerous at stoppages.
Dangerous
inside forward 50.
Yep,
will be. That's where he'll get on the move. And if O'Brien got on top of Stanley, and he's just putting it into space for Rankin to run onto.
Well, that's not
Geelong.
Ideal.
Geelong are going to have to be very good on the defensive side of the stoppage.
Also, going to need to start well.
Yep. Absolutely.
If you don't start well on the road. It's a long, long, long way back, particularly with that crowd who'll be absolutely going bananas to kick off Gather Round.
Mm.
If the Crows kick the first three goals of the game, we're going to need helmets on, King.
So Geelong have actually won their last three at Adelaide Oval, and it's because they've actually started well. And the game I think of is Adelaide early last year. They kicked 6-3 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And actually were able to sort of hold Adelaide off for most of the night. Same with the qualifying final that they started well, they led at quarter time.
And then I reckon Port Adelaide hit the front.
Yeah,
early in the second.
Kicked the first goal of the
second.
And
then I reckon Jack Bowes kicked a goal straight away.
Geelong went away.
And then Geelong were never headed from there.
And they beat the Dogs there last year as well. So at Chris Scott's
by a poofteenth.
Beat them by four, yep.
Yeah.
So Chris Scott's words, they've actually won 5 of their last 6.
Nah, it's like a second home, King.
Well, Chris Scott did say, we're comfortable.
Are we wearing blue shorts?
No, they'll be in the white.
Oh.
Yep.
I think they should wear blue ones if we're going that well there. Maybe it's our second home. We got a bit stiff during Adelaide Gather Round there, didn't we?
But somebody's going to.
Yeah, I know. It didn't have to be us. It was going to be Flaming Bulldogs or some other hacks.
I reckon
Gold Coast.
Geelong have had West Coast.
West Wet Toast.
Have wet West Toast and... West Coast. What did I say? West Toast.
Wet Toast, yeah.
Now, West Coast and the Bulldogs have been Geelong's gather-round opponents. So Geelong won't get... Now, somebody's going to get Adelaide and Port Adelaide.
It's not going to be there for that much longer.
I know, but it's just the way it is.
I don't like it. Oh. It's not ideal for us.
Are you okay? Somebody had to play them. So anyway, get the job done. 11-day break into... 11-day break into playing the Hawks on Easter Monday. Do you want some questions, Benny?
Oh, look, I absolutely love questions, Kingy.
Cats 09 off the big footy. How many Ollies and Olivers can we fit into our senior lineup?
Yeah, we've got a few. That's the if you're around the age of sort of between 15 and 30 or 15 and 25, there's a zillion Olivers.
It's still a very
a zillion.
They did the most popular baby names of 2024, and I think Oliver still
just
sits on
pipped
top.
Kevin.
It didn't.
It did.
Hey, we've been lucky this year.
Kevin, what?
We got a Bruce a couple of weeks ago.
We got a Brucey Revel.
And we get a Wayne this week.
Oh, Wayne Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We names that we're not going
to... No, it's disappointing. We need to savour every moment there's a Wayne out there.
There's not many Garys left.
No, Gary, is you're not going to your barbecue.
I'll tell you the other one we don't get a lot of.
Shane.
Brett.
No, there's not a lot of Brett's sort of launching around. There's no Bert. Is there?
No.
There's no.
Lorries.
Do you know what else has gone right out of fashion?
What?
The name?
What?
Todd. It's not
Todd Marshall.
There's no Todds coming through.
No, no.
We need them coming through.
No, the youngest Todd in the world is.
They've stopped the production line of Todds.
Todd Flanders.
Yes, I saw Toddy Nikolic up there on Saturday too at Joey's.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was he drinking White Nights when you saw him?
I don't know what he was drinking, but I did refresh on the Melbourne cans up there.
Were you really? Were you a bit? What's the word I'm looking for?
Brahms and Liszt. No. By the time the siren went,
were you a bit bohemian drinking the old Melbourne?
No, I just went to Melbourne, and I by sort of 6:30 when I launched out of the club rooms, I was reasonably. I wouldn't want to have been operating any machinery, Kingy. Let's put it that way.
Did you behave? Did you get home safely?
Yeah, well, I walked home. The 12-year-old walked me home.
From Elderslie Reserve.
And she goes to me, do you know what she said to me? I cherish these sorts of moments. She goes, she just looked at me, and she doesn't call me Dad, she calls me Benjamin. So she goes, Benjamin, you are a very big concern. And I just sort of look, I'm doing my job, kid. Now, just get us home safely.
Did you go via the Autumn Street McDonald's just to fuel up on the way home? The chicken ranch.
No. Do you know what, King? I cannot remember. cannot remember what happened.
Drink responsibly.
Yeah, I did.
Cats. Hi, gents. Any updates on the TBCs on the injury list and how far away they might be? Martin, Guthrie, Conway. We did talk about them on Friday night with Andrew Mackey. Mm-hmm. No, they're still where I don't think
they're miles away.
I don't think we're seeing Conway. We're not definitely seeing Guthrie until the second half of the season. Conway and Martin are weeks away.
They've actually seen Conway down the barn. He's just like those tyres that were in the Loch Ness.
Right.
But they've actually, Kingy, my tip, my word on the street with the old Loch Ness is that they've actually got him sleeping standing up. Now they're strapping him to a gurney just in case
Hannibal Lecter sort of style.
And they've got a billiard ball in his mouth just so he just to alleviate any issues, Kingy, of a lying down position causing any sorts of problems.
Right.
Okay. Has a lying down position ever caused any problems for you?
No, Benny, let's move on.
No, has it?
No.
Ever?
No.
Have you ever had a cramp in the middle of the night? There's nothing worse.
In the foot.
Have you?
Yeah. There's nothing worse.
Absolutely not. There's not much you can do with a foot cramp, is there?
No.
Huh?
Daz Broncos, great 4 points on the weekend, but now ship gets real. Crows are alight and will be dirty after dropping the Suns game. Benny, you mentioned Lawson's girlfriend still being in WA currently, and he signed until 2026. Wouldn't want to lose him in any way, but hypothetically, if Harley Reid's on the move, does Mackey ask questions?
Well, it's probably not the silliest suggestion, I suppose, is it? I mean, let's hope we don't lose Lawson Humphreys. But, I don't know. You hope it's not getting to that. But would you be happy with that, Kingy?
If it was Lawson Humphreys and a draft pick for Harley Reid, you would probably go yes.
Yeah, I suppose you would.
But I suppose you would. I love watching Lawson Humphreys.
So do I.
He's a lot of fun.
And do you know what? Do you know why you like watching him? It's the same reason that I liked watching Gary Ablett Jr. Mm. Same reason I like watching Paul Chapman. Same reason I like watching Jimmy Bartel. Same reason I like watching Paul Couch. Do you know why?
Because
they don't cock it up.
Yeah.
So when Dangerfield's got it, I get a sphincter tightening.
Yes.
Every now and then. When Max Holmes gets it, I sphincter up a little bit. The valves just sort of tighten. Mm.
But not with Lawson. Although he did turn one over.
Look, he's always going to turn one over. But he's just so safe and composed with the ball. I'll enjoy those players because you know something good's going to happen, whereas you hope something good happens with some other players. And anyway, that's why you love watching him. Scott Pendlebury's one. You know, just something is. It's you're nervous when opposition players get it, like Scott Pendlebury, like a De Goey, like a Nick Dacos. Like a Will Ashcroft, those you always get nervous because you know something's good's about to happen.
Like an Errol Goulden.
And I'd imagine Geelong opposition Geelong supporters get nervous when Grime Myers gets it.
Yep.
Because he's so unpredictable.
And creative.
Yeah, he's so skillful. He doesn't always play the percentages, which really works for him. And those players who hurt you with the ball, you get nervous when they get it.
Dudas Maximus. Does Andrew Mackie carry ready-made contracts for opposition players to sign in his messenger bag during breaks?
He could. He could.
Howl of 41 VFL boys.
Although I did hear a little tiny bit of that when he's referred to as an executive.
Executive general manager.
Executive.
Yep.
Oh my God. That is one word I never thought would be associated with Andrew Mackie. Executive. Why is that funny? It's just bizarre.
It is very bizarre.
Yeah.
VFL boys started Friday.
It's rack far bizarre.
With a win, and the AFL boys followed suit. Like my hair in the late 90s, the VFL was more free-flowing, and like my hair now, the AFL game was a bit patchy. Jai Clark took his demotion well, 31 touches, 7 clearances, 5 tackles.
I did hear that. That was good.
Looking like someone had taken his last Kit Kat. George Stevens also putting together a great start to the VFL season. 11 clearances from 27 touches. Someone else mentioned Kruger. He's been huge in defence, and I also think a rookie spot, we could do worse. Just wanted to highlight Tom Atkins. I don't think Nathan Kruger going back onto Geelong's, it's very rare it happens, a player leaves a club, comes back to your VFL program.
And then boomerangs back into the senior list.
I actually don't know whether it's happened. I know Marty Hall went off Melbourne's list, went and played VFL with North Melbourne and ended back up on Melbourne's list. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it's ever happened.
It wouldn't have happened too often, yeah. King. Kruger, it's like your numbers coming up.
Kruger is, and look, right now, Geelong's deficiency isn't behind the footy. And that's where Kruger's playing some really good footy in the VFL.
Yeah.
He and Charlie McCartan, don't get me wrong, if there's a couple of clubs mid-season who are struggling behind the footy...
You get Kruger.
Kruger and McCartan.
Freddie. They call him Freddie?
No, I don't think they actually do.
What do they call him?
No, I'm not sure.
Sonia?
I don't know. Just wanted to highlight Tom Atkins, currently 14 tackles in from the second-best tackler. And 18 in front of league for pressure acts. Assuming it was a pressure act that caused Loch Ness's bed injury. Big fortnight coming up with the Ravens. Then the toddler ball. Oh, Ravens, Crows. And then toddler ball, which is obviously Hawthorn. Stanley stays in whilst Henry out with the master. Blitz returns and SDK oscillates between defence and ruck.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to do some oscillation with Sam DeConing. But it was nice to see him look so composed when he was in his natural habitat. You know, when do you ever get out of your natural habitat?
Me?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Do you know that you're out of your natural habitat?
Yeah, out of your depth.
Well, yeah, just out of your sort of safe haven. You know, like that. There people say, why don't you get out of your comfort zone? I think,
why?
Why would I want to? Like, I'm actually happy in my comfort zone. Why do I want to get out of it? Yep. It's always baffled me, people saying, get out of your comfort zone. No, I actually don't want to be doing that.
And my third nipple. I know Benny loves Ollie Henry's athleticism and agility. I also understand he kicks goals, and the just play him theory of getting games into him might be the right thing to do. Mm. I'm not a subscriber to this theory. He's kicked 4 goals this year. He's played 74 games. Is he spot cemented forward? He seemingly has no synergy with any other forward. I'd argue at times he gets in the way. He doesn't chase. His pressure is minimal. He has a spectacular highlight reel with nothing in between. Are we carrying him? Does he need a couple of weeks in the twos? Is there someone like Wiltshire, of whom I know little about, that could bring something more than amazing agility and an average of 9 disposals a game? Or do I need to show some patience and wait for him to start to rip games apart?
Oh.
Bit to unpack there, Ben.
Well, is he struggling? Yes. Is he a victim of Patrick Dangerfield spending more time forward?
Somewhat.
Possibly. Is he great on the pressure axe? No. Do you want him to go back to the twos? I mean, if you're going on that, just on that theory alone, are we only going on these 4 games?
Mm-hmm.
Would Jeremy Cameron be a chance to go back to the twos?
Probably.
Because he's been crap. Mm. I mean, he gets 20. We look down, he gets 22 possessions. 15 of them are absolute meaningless rubbish across half back where he comes up and gets it and then calls for it and then kicks it 3 yards sideways. Like... yeah, I mean, Ollie Henry, is he under pressure? Yes. He needs to start performing. He needs to... I mean, his game, I suppose, is based purely around goals.
Yep.
He's not a high possession half forward. He's not going to come up the ground and get the ball 18 times. I mean, he'll do that every now and then if he's playing well, but he's not a high possession player. So therefore, we just look down at the score sheet and think, oh, has he kicked any goals? And no, he hasn't. So yeah, he knows, he would know full well that he's under pressure. How he responds to that, I'll be really interested to see. I do agree that if he has another 2 weeks, I mean, in big games against Adelaide and Hawthorn, where he's completely non-existent, I'd be starting to think that yeah, there is some possibility he goes back to the twos. I'm not stupid, just think you keep playing him. I just think he has far too much talent to be getting some confidence in the twos.
Yeah.
I think he's the sort of player who can get his confidence in the ones. And he's a guy that will kick three or four goals in a game and be the difference in a game. Those guys are hard to find. Now, we used to, and he wasn't my cup of tea, but Gary Rowan was perhaps a similar type player. Mm. Could have periods where he'd get the ball four times, five times. They kept playing him. Why? Because he could win you a game.
I.e. the qualifying final.
And then other people will say, yeah, he had chased down speed. And I get that. He did. But he wasn't a defensive forward in that he was constant. It was he'd bob up out of a sprinkle head and nail someone, yes. Ollie Henry, does he do that? Probably no. Do you think Ollie Henry is more... If I said to you, who would you have more faith in on a consistent basis? Would it be Rowan or Ollie Henry?
Ollie Henry.
Yeah, I'd say the same. So, yeah, look, I hope that they give him another 2 or 3 weeks, but I do agree he does need to start playing well. But if you're bringing in Ollie Wiltshire to replace Ollie Henry, I think you're going to get disappointed.
Before we move on to the KFCX questions, we've just got the health update for this week, or the medical update. Jake Collajasny, a groin 1 to 2 weeks.
Is Donald Trump's hair on that?
A pelvis 1 to 2 weeks.
It's on life support.
Jed Bew's now up 4 to 8 weeks with that finger. Jack Martin, TBC. Toby Conway, TBC. Cam Guthrie, TBC.
Do you fear that we've seen Cam Guthrie for the last time?
Yeah, it worries me. Yeah. Mitch Nevitt is right to go this week. I suspect he's playing.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm happy with that. Let's not make him the sub like we did when the conditions were absolutely ideal 2 weeks ago.
Don't think that will be happening this week. He'll be in the 22.
Do you reckon O'Connor might be the sub?
Yeah. Well, actually, O'Connor might come out.
Out altogether?
Yep.
Who'd be the sub?
Maybe Closey.
Yeah. Would Mullen be the sub?
I don't think so. I think they want to...
If Rankin plays in the midfield, who have they got for him to play on? Would he play on Keys? Who do you think Keys will be playing on?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because he usually plays a defensive role and kicks for himself.
Yeah.
He's actually become a very good player.
He won their BNF 2 years ago.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
He's very good. He might go to like a... I don't know. It'd be an interesting matchup there because... Would he go to a, in terms of defensive play, would he go to a Stewart?
Yeah, maybe, and keep him company.
Try to keep, yeah, maybe. There's a lot of matchups which are going to be crucial, King. It'd be really interesting to see the first sort of 7 or 8 minutes and how it plays out. It'd be exciting to see how it, because I think this is a sort of game where, I mean, I think some games you just win on talent.
Sorry, I apologise. Keys won the BNF last year.
I knew it was recent.
Yeah.
I think some games you win on talent, and Geelong were just better than Melbourne on Friday night. Mm. This game, I think, it'll be a lot more skewed to getting your matchups right and which players can win their individual matchups and will allow their team to get the ascendancy.
Chris Scott said that. It'll be a real tactical contest.
Should I be a coach?
Maybe.
Do you think? Do you think he was channeling me?
Nuffy from Cario likes seeing Benny walking down Latrobe Terrace, Jesus-like.
Yeah, well, Nuffy must have been getting to the football at about 7:10, so he was late, and he wouldn't have got in because there was the far queue I was in.
Right.
And
what about the near queue?
Yeah, there was just queues galorking with the incident with the guns going into the MCG. Yes. Did you hear about Peter Dacos got arrested too? On Friday night.
What?
Peter Dacos got arrested on Friday night as well. Brought in 2 guns.
Too soon?
What? No.
SDK down back?
Yes.
Dislikes, new Geelong song, bring back the Fable Singers.
Yeah, the songs don't worry me.
Music after goals? Although at least they turned it down from
8 million decibels.
Benjamin Trump not talking politics with Richard Marles.
Yeah, I read to refrain from all that, Kingy.
Arngold, gentlemen, what is going on with our forward line? It seems to be underperforming, or am I being too critical?
I'd agree. I think I've mentioned this heaps of times. Dangerfield is individually a great player. Does he fit into a system? Not unconvinced. Does he upset the apple cart for others? Possibly. Is he allowed to do that? Yes. Has he earned the right to do that? Yes. But does that impact other players? We'll never know, but I suspect that it perhaps does. A bit like the theory of, you know, when you have the two ruckmen, it doesn't work. Suddenly one bloke gets thrown the keys and he turns into Peter Moore. Hmm. I don't know, Kingy.
Thank you. Well, if you don't know, I certainly don't. David Bennett, love the persistence shown with Mullen. Guy can play. Need to put Jai Clark in and leave him in the side for the long term, irrespective of performance. We are extremely shallow in the midfield, so having him will help.
Well, I've sort of been on that bandwagon to a degree. I don't think you just leave him in irrespective, but I do agree. It was good to see him play. He was clearly what the VFL's best player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really good to see. I think that shows a little bit of your character. He's still a young player. You get the chop, you go back, you're the best player, as you said, against a pretty good opposition. Mm. And you're getting 30 plus possessions and nearly double figure clearances. So I reckon that says a little bit about his character. We've had him on K-Rock. Did we have him on K-Rock once?
Last year.
Yeah, last year. He seems like a good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Hard working kid. Yeah. I think he'll make it. Yeah. I think he'll make it. I do agree that I'd like to see those sorts of players find their feet at senior level. Nothing wrong with him going back playing well at twos, but I do agree he's got the talent to find his feet at senior level. And a bit like we did with, although he's a different player, I think Grian Myers was one that you wanted to find the feet at senior level. Mm. His game suits the seniors. A scrappier VFL.
Yeah, he struggled in his first year.
Doesn't really suit him. No. He knows where to run. He's got the tank to get there. The ball gets there. In the VFL, only gets there 3 out of every 8 times. Mm. So he's left hanging. But, yeah, I agree. I think there's a line, though. You can't just be poor 3 or 4 weeks in a row and then expect to be getting games, particularly when you're effectively a second-year player.
Trevor Young, need a back line of talls this week against Adelaide, our own three-headed monster, Blitz, SDK, O'Sullivan.
Yep.
Stanley acquitted himself well and will take ruck duties. Danger up forward, a tough matchup, although kicking for goal a bit haphazard. Still needed at centre bounces, though.
Yeah, I mean, he played really well, Dangerfield. And I was thinking, Kingy, that I'd love to see that be the norm for Patrick Dangerfield. I mean, he had as much impact on that game on Friday night as he did when he used to get it 40 times and 25 of them would go into the stand or straight to the opposition. Mm. He's just a burst player now at his age, and he's a bloody good burst player, don't get me wrong. But if he's fresher, I think his impact is heightened. So that means probably plays less game time.
Yep.
So to keep him fresh. And I've said this before, what they've got to do is find a way for the midfield to still be effective when he's not out there. That's probably the key.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Great call on Friday night. Thought the young players were great. How good is the 14? Thought Danger played a captain's game.
Yes.
How long do you think Henry is out for? Well, it's 3 to 4 weeks.
4 weeks. I would have thought 4.
How do we cover? Should SDK be the replacement and Blitz halves play ruck? Do you think we can win? I'm happy with Stanley being the ruck.
I think he played well enough to have another crack.
At Riley O'Brien?
Well, we've got no choice really this week.
No.
With the three tools, I don't think there's a choice.
I actually absolutely think Geelong can beat Adelaide on Friday night.
You do?
Yep. Thursday night, sorry.
I do. I was thinking, Kingy, maybe, and look, this might be just the optimistic, you know, blue and white supporter in me, but...
What? That doesn't come out very often.
No, it doesn't. But I was thinking maybe this week might be a good week to get at Adelaide. Hmm. They've set themselves to beat Gold Coast. They came up short. Okay, they were unlucky.
5-day break.
Short turnaround. Sometimes particularly, I mean, they're not what you would classify yet. I know they've got some experienced players, but they're not a seasoned side. Mm. So maybe it's a good time for the Cats to get them if they can get over there, start well, put them on the back foot. The other side of the coin is that maybe Adelaide are just better than we think and will respond accordingly. I think we'll get a really good gauge of where both teams are at, because I think it's a great test for the Cats on the road, and it's a really good test for Adelaide coming off a really frustrating loss in which I reckon they were wound up to Billy O to win that game. And don't get me, I mean, beating Gold Coast on the Gold Coast. Oh, there's not going to be many sides do that, if any, this year. They're the real deal, Gold Coast. I reckon they'll be, pushing top four.
Wow.
And I don't think they'll win it because they're not seasoned enough. But that was a really good effort from Adelaide. But I just got this feeling that if Geelong could start well, it may be a really good week to get them.
Mick Howley, did we just see the breakout game of Reece Stanley's career?
We did.
Was Ollie Dempsey's mark attempt higher than Joe Cocker? He walked on top of it. Reminded me, and Ablett didn't take the mark. It was against the Eagles back in their early days in the comp. And there's a famous photo. I reckon it might have even been a Philip Stubbs special from the Geelong Addy, the late, great Philip Stubbs, who was unbelievable on behind the lens. And Ablett walked basically on top of the pack. And he didn't mark it. And Ollie Dempsey was saying, it was basically like there was a plank there. And if he had to pull that in, it would have been unbelievable.
It would have been, Yeah. You would have had your pants down, It's not often we got our pants down at the footy. Although it used to happen about every two times a quarter when the great man was playing.
Yeah, correct. Premiers, g'day blokes. Considering another crow stitch up with the umpiring in this week's game being gathered around on their home deck, can we expect an all-time blowout with the free kick ratio? Chris Scott was asked about this today.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They'll overcorrect.
Yep.
And the free kick going to be 9-1 at quarter time.
Clinton Mitchell, all for Cameron to go up the field.
And what did Chris Scott say?
Oh, he said, well, he used the word human nature about he goes, you look at the stats, home teams in worlds anywhere in the world in sport are favoured by the officiating. And it's true. It is. And he goes, it's human nature. So he was very diplomatical about it. Clinton Mitchell, all for Cameron to go up the field to get some touch, but there are times up forward he needs to stop asking for the ball.
Yeah.
It was interesting how I asked the question, who's that on? Is that on the receiver or the giver? And it's on the receiver. That you honour the receiver, you back them in to be making the right decision.
Yeah.
It would be great to get some protection for our ruckman that a certain Melbourne ruckman got on Friday night over, although a good win.
Was.
Marky Mark the Lamp, with a lack of defenders, can we bring Charlie McCartan into the AFL team? Can you explain how this might work? The only way the Cats are getting Charlie McCartan if there was a retirement mid-season.
Mitch Duncan.
Mitch Duncan, which is not going to happen.
Do you think Mitch Duncan, do they have to keep him on the list next year to get to the 300?
No, he'll get his four games.
The way he's going?
He'll get his four games.
He's not in this week?
He won't be in this week, though.
No.
That would be the only way. So you'd have to have a list spot open up, and he would be looked at. But the problem is, it would come down to ladder position, and if Collingwood were lower on the ladder than the Cats, there is a real interest for Collingwood in Charlie McCartan.
Right.
Yep.
Well, there
really
you go.
Strong interest.
Was he 27?
Randomness. Friday was further proof that SDK is and always should be a backman, not a ruckman. And before we talk about how inconsistent Reece can be from week to week, his ruck and structural impact cannot be overstated. Can't see O'Sullivan losing his spot anytime soon. He's a star. Could O'Sullivan win the Rising Star this year?
On what we saw on Friday night, 100% he could. Yeah.
We could have back-to-backs. What numbers are we looking at, Benny, for Hydro's Heroes?
Well, Hydro did text me this afternoon, Kingy, so I just have to fire up the old magic machine. We've got two rippers here, Kingy.
So we only got two numbers?
Two numbers today.
What have we got?
So Hydro's Heroes, it's five.
Didn't we do five last week?
No.
Yeah, we did five last... Didn't we... We did 5, 14 and 28 last week,
No, I don't think so. We did... No, it was Gary Ablett. That was Gary Ablett Sr.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we did five, did we?
Oh, I thought we
did. No, we didn't do five.
Okay.
So we did five.
Well, it's Gary Ablett Sr.
I know, but there are some very handy players.
Trav Varko.
He was a very good player. I saw that highlight of him kicking the first goal of that.
2011.
That was just extraordinary. What, 16 seconds I think it took.
Cameron.
Straight through the middle.
Well, they're the only three that have worn the five, aren't they, since?
Since the great Gazuki.
Yeah. Did anybody wear it after... Between
I don't think so anyone
Varko and
Nakai Cockatoo.
Oh, Nakai Cockatoo, sorry, yeah.
He was ill-fated, unfortunately.
Could have been anything.
He got injured getting out of bed, old Nakai Cockatoo.
Well, at least it wasn't in bed like Tony Conway.
No, well, I think I'd prefer to be in bed, Kingy, rather than out of bed. But
so put the five in.
Just to, like, experience some awareness. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced that?
Put 242 games and 1,021 goals for a bloke who didn't play his whole career at full forward.
Oh, he was just outrageous, that bloke.
Picked on Richmond for fun.
He was by the length of the Conrod Strait. Does that still go? He's my favourite player of all time. He was just an entertainment. He was like an entertainment package. He wasn't a footballer.
Do you know how many goals a game?
Some of the shit he used to do was just like, did you see that?
Do you know against Richmond playing for Geelong?
Yeah, Scott Turner, he used to monster him.
So what? Do you know what he averaged a game?
About 11 goals.
No, he averaged six.
So I reckon he kicked, it was more than, I reckon he kicked 14 a couple of times on Scott Turner.
I don't think they were on Scott Turner.
Yeah, some of them were.
Scott Turner's fan. So in 89, he kicked 14.
Against Richmond.
Scott Turner wasn't playing.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah, I'll check the, hang on, let me have a look at the game. It was round nine. Let me have a look here. Nah, Scott Turner didn't play.
Well, he must have been injured. He got subbed out. He got subbed out early.
And then he kicked 14 against them again in, I reckon he did it twice.
He'd come down Richmond. Here, he used to just.
I was there the day he kicked 14 against Richmond at the G. He was playing on a wing.
Yeah, he was just, he could kick it 65 metres. He was tough. He had some nasty about him. He never did a weight.
He didn't have to.
Well, he must have done something. You don't get as big as he is just by, you know,
yeah.
The peppermint tea leaves, do you?
No.
I went down there once. Andrew Wills took me down there when he was playing at the Cats. And I nearly, Kingy, I got, so we're trundling through the, this is the days where you could just bring someone down to the club. It's like bring a friend. And so we're walking through the club and there is the Gazuki on his yoga sort of arrangement, Matt, doing sit-ups in a pair of pink underpants.
There you go.
And fair to say, Kingy, the whole thing, it was... It could have gone up like the Taj Mahal, I reckon.
Anyway, so, can we move on to the
next
one?
That's what they say, Kingy. I don't know if that was true. And Wilsey, in his own way, alluded to the fact to me, just sort of gave me the nod and the wink and said that...
Well, he was locker buddy, wasn't he?
4 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, he changed number. He went 45, didn't he, to 4?
Yeah, he went to 4.
Yeah, he would have had Gaz...
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I saw Gaz in his pink underpants and... Some of, you know, he was there. Anyway, it was quite extraordinary. But Wilsey, and what are you laughing at?
I'm going to ask you to do something that you do very well just talking about Gary Ablett.
What's that? Oh, have your boy, Sham. When the guy goes to him.
It was Jack Edwards.
Yeah, have you got any videos, Gary? He's won the video. He goes, oh, have your boy, Sham. He didn't have any old Gazza, unfortunately. He was, he took, I told this story, he took a friend home. We followed him out into the car park at Geelong, the three of us. Oh, wow. And he took Dean Ballantyne home.
Yeah, right.
In his car. What anyway, he just had it all Gazza. Yep. He had the, and he was like, they reckon.
Okay. Can we move on to the next number? So the five is senior.
Well, the five's a lock. I could talk about the five for the next.
Yeah, and we've got to wrap
I've gaffer taped my 12-year-old to a chair and made her watch Gary Ablett highlights.
Yeah, that's actually not probably something you would admit public, but yeah, you have.
Well, I only use the light gaffer tape.
Okay. Yeah. Right, and?
And the number 29, Kingy. Ironically worn by his son.
I think that's the double, isn't it?
Absolutely, but... There were a couple other handy 29s, Kingy.
Well, Cam Guthrie's been more than handy in the 29.
Two BMFs.
Correct, including one in the premiership year.
Yeah, and he was just a really good, solid player. He went from losing all that chip kick, you know, he'd kick it 4 metres and then get it back and get it a lot of times and then nothing would happen, to a really impactful midfielder. And we've probably told this story before, but he had that surgery with his heart that allowed his running capacity to go through the roof, and his footy went through the roof at that time. And he's been an absolute store. It'd be really sad if we didn't get to see him again, Kingy. Mm. But it's the way things are going, it's not looking great, fairness.
And if Gary Ablett Jr. and Cam Guthrie hadn't have come along.
And the other one, yeah, well, that's true. Yeah,
would have been Ken Hinckley.
Yeah, well, Kenny used to be the loosest halfback in the history of football. So... and the other one, Kingy, who was very, very good, and we used to call him the human fireball, Dame Drum.
Yeah. And Drummy was stiff. He got injured in the prelim in 89.
Yes.
Did a collarbone or a shoulder and couldn't be considered the
fireball. He was a good footballer, Damien Drum. I reckon he was a bit injury prone throughout his career, but really good. Member for Bendigo or something like that?
He was both state and federal.
Yeah.
He represented, I think it was, he was a upper house in the Victorian Parliament,
yep.
and then he was the member for Murray, which is now the called Nichols after Pastor Sir Doug Nichols. But he was a member for Murray for a number of years for the National Party in Federal Parliament. And do you know what? He's one of the funniest blokes you'll meet. I played golf with him last year.
I reckon he's back here, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's a member of Bowen Heads.
Yeah. So I played golf with him. Played golf with him at 13th last year in a golf day and interviewed him. He is very, very
good.
Yeah,
I think he's got a bit of good sort of lip about him.
Yep.
The other one, King, the other story we may have may not told on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast that Bluey used to tell about playing with Ken Hinckley.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a famous story about the
bet.
The 92 record score against the Bears
at
Carrara.
The bet
yep.
to start the game.
Yeah.
So the half back line that day was Hinckley, McGrath, Brownless. Mm. And they had a bet before the game. And you got to gamble responsibly. But they had a bet. It was a smallish bet on who would be the first of them to kick a goal.
Mm.
Clearly, they were confident they were going to win. So Bluey's story is that when the ball went up from the opening bounce of the game, and he, out of the corner of his eye, all he could see were two flashes of blue and white streaming into the forward line, and it was Brownless and Hinckley who just left their man to stream into the forward line to kick a goal. Bluey was playing on three plays, he reckons, for the entire afternoon.
Can I give you Geelong's, talking about 1992, can I give you Geelong's scores from the opening nine rounds?
Of that year. Oh, it'd be outrageous.
121.
Gaz was on fire.
121, and they got beaten by 20. 105 and they got beaten by 8. 198, 131, 175, 239, followed up by 210 the following week against Adelaide, and then 181.
They were kicking with the wind a lot.
That's just phenomenal. But now it wasn't.
Apparently, their forward line wasn't really functioning.
It wasn't all Gaz. Like, Gaz kicked 9.
Yeah, no, that was it, but quarter time.
Paul Brown kicked 6 in that Brisbane record game.
Yeah, there was can't wax lyrical enough about the 5.
But round 8 against Adelaide, Billy had actually gone back forward and kicked 7.
You know, he got the people to just got a message from young junior who calls me Benjamin.
Yeah.
And it just says, "What's for din-dins?"
Din-dins.
He's an absolute idiot.
And the week they kicked the 180 against Essendon at the MCG, do you know who Geelong's leading goal scorer
kicker was? Which game?
92 versus Essendon at the MCG. Not the famous game.
Bluey.
The year after. No. Bluey.
Didn't kick 7 one day?
Bluey?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Gavin X. I don't know.
Robert Scott.
Was it?
Scott Robert kicks.
The old Dunny Brush.
The Dunny Brush.
The old D Brush.
Yeah. Bluey's most goals in a game, just out of interest.
No, I don't think he kicked 7.
He actually never kicked more than 1 in a game.
Didn't he?
No.
He was unlucky. He had a score review that was touched. otherwise would have been 2.
Are we done, Benny?
Yes, we're kingy. We're done. I'm really looking forward to Thursday night. It's a big game for both.
Dan Menzel.
Dashing Dan. We'll be able to reacquaint ourselves with Dashing Dan, who's, I think he might be all, is he married now, loved up?
Yeah, someone saw something on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Instagram, either married or engaged or one of the two. We'll find out.
People still do that.
Apparently.
Absolute idiot. So, I'm really looking forward. It's a big game for the Cats, and it's away from home, and it's a gather round, Kingy, so we'll be gathering around.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.